Doesn't that computer know who you
are? Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
Installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my
onto
friend?
A Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Yo.
Good morning. This is Tech Talk, and this is Michael Kassler with the Tech Talk Show here on WRLR 98.3 FM. Today is going to be another great day. We've got it'll be interesting to see how we work it out, though. I just found out that our beloved Dave Sparky Saganaki is taking a little hiatus this week. He's out taking some driving courses for his brand new motorcycle. Hopefully when he comes back in next week, we will hear all about that, assuming that he survives, of course, and doesn't go speeding off into the nowhere. But it's all good stuff, and so we'll be talking to him soon. Later this morning, we will, of course, have our regular Mr. J. Garmin with Geek Trivia. And he'll come on and answer last week's question, if you missed it, and give us a new question for next week, which should be very, very cool. And always excited to have him on. And we'll cover our usual just panoply of stuff, the news and views and reviews for the week. We've got some great cool sites of the week picked out for the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned in for those. And we'll talk about what's going on in the next few weeks, too, and see what's happening. Now, of course, you can get virtually all the information that we talk about here on the show if you go to our website, techtalk.wrlr.fm, and you can get the most current shows that are happening. You can get the most recent cool sites of the week. Actually, you can get not just the most recent, you can get all the cool sites of the week. You just may have to hunt for it a little bit, but you can find it in there. And also, too, you'll see the news that we are looking at moment by moment. I've got it hooked up so that anytime I go into Google Reader, I look at my RSS feed, I make a note, I share something, I put a star on it, whatever, it shows up right away on the website, as well as does, of course, our Twitter comments also. And you can follow us on Twitter at Tech Talk WRLR, which is in the Twitter stuff. If you're not into Twitter, you might want to check it out, twitter.com. And speaking of kind of cool sites and things to check out, one cool site that we have talked about many times, it's been a cool site a number of times, it's a vital tool for me anyways, is Jot, JOTT.com. I know I've turned on not only a lot of people on air, but also two personal friends of mine, people at work, a lot of people. I've just told them, you know what, you've got to get hooked into Jot. What Jot is a very easy to use, basically like a voice recording and transcription system for you. And it's been around for a year or so now, maybe a little bit longer. And what it allows you to do is you set up like a speed dial on your phone. This is the way I use it anyways. And it asks you, who do you want to jot? And you can say yourself or a number of other things or people that you want to jot. You just speak into it and say, remember to pick up the milk next Tuesday, whatever your case may be. And there's people somewhere that listen to that and transcribe it and then send it to where you've said you want it to go. If you say you want it to go to yourself, maybe you get an email. If you say you want to send it to Remember the Milk, which is a great organizational tool, it'll send it there. If you told it to send it to your brother Frank, as long as that contact information is in there, bang, he's going to get an email with that. You can also jot to Twitter. All sorts. I don't even want to begin going down the path of how many different things there are. But as I said, it's been a cool sign of the week. It's been a free in beta operation for quite some time, and I'm bringing it up again today because it's going out of beta. They are becoming a monetized, legitimate service, if you want to call it legitimate. They've been around for a while. But you want to check it out. If you do have a Jot account, you're going to get a message that's going to tell you got to go and make a decision about what type of account you want to purchase. And they've got three levels. They'll still have the free level for those of us that don't want to pay anything at all for the service, and it'll have some of the basic functionality and operation that you've had in the past. Or there's going to be a paid level that's still not expensive, a couple bucks a month, something like that, which will give you some of the basic functionality, including sending emails and having multiple contacts that you can send to. And then there's the pro version, which has got double the recording time, has got, you know, the full functions of everything that's been there and all the connectivity that you've come to know and love with Jot, and that's a little bit more expensive yet than the basic paid version. So you want to check that out. Now, this is interesting too. When I saw that email, and I got that email, of course, because I've been a free user for quite some time, a beta user for quite some time, and my initial thought was, I got to get these guys on air and talk to them and see what's happening with the product and what's going on. And not only that, but I've always in the back of my mind kind of wondered, what is this? Who are these people? You know, where do they sit? Is there like a cube farm somewhere out in Montana that you've got people answering the phones and listening to all these crazy messages that people leave? Because I've left some crazy messages, and, you know, darn it, if they don't just transcribe it just as it is put and send it off in an email to me. So I'm very curious to find out about that. I've reached out to Jot. They are very, very friendly people, very open to talking with us. They're going to come on air, hopefully next Saturday if I can arrange it. We're trying to push for some good Saturdays that they can make it available. They've actually offered, in fact, the resources of the CEO of Jot to come on. So that's something that will be coming up in a couple of weeks. But in that time, if you haven't seen it or checked it out or had a chance to try it yet, I highly, highly recommend going to jot.com and take a look at that. Definitely, definitely worth your while. Now, outside of technology, of course, big news has been that finally they're making some decisions here with the presidential candidates. I don't know if you heard, but just recently, Barack Obama decided that Joe Biden was going to be his running mate. So that now the reason why I bring that up, typically we don't stretch over into the political realm and all this, and it's not really in the scope of the show, if you want to say that. But I do mention it because, of course, with the advent of Twitter and all of these instant messaging type of environments, it's turning into almost kind of a game now to see who can be number one. It's just like when you first put up a blog and you make a comment on some of these bigger blogs like Lifehacker and Tech Meme and, you know, or Tech Crunch and some of the others. there's always some guy, or at least there was for a while, there was some guy who had to make the first post, and a lot of times it would just say first, you know, because that was the cool thing. You were the first poster, you know, whoop-de-doo. But that's happening now, of course, with the political stuff, as people want to be known as, hey, I had the info first, I passed it on first. and whether that's happening or not, I don't know, but it was interesting to see, I guess about 6-7 hours or so ago, the flurry of Twitters coming out all about Barack's pick of Biden, which actually the first ones came from the Barack Obama Twitter account and from the Obama websites. So there, all you Twitter repeaters, you can't beat the source. When the source is the one that's hooked up and sending those Twitters out, then that's pretty much gonna sink it for you. And I think that is interesting too, to note that of the candidates, really, of politicians in general, the Obama campaign and Barack himself have really made an effort to be hooked in and connected to what's going on. He's got a very active internet site. He's got people that send out his Twitters and tell what's going on with the Obama campaign on a regular basis. They've got a large, large number of followers, and the information that they're putting out is valid and good information. I also do particularly like the fact that they don't try to pretend that it's actually Barack writing the Twitters. With Hillary's Twitter account, which she had when she was doing her thing. There was a lot of times when a Twitter would come out and it would say something like, "I'm going to the Democratic main center with my friends so and so, and we're going to have lunch," you know, whatever. You know for a fact Hillary's not sitting there on her Trio typing madly to get her Twitters out every 10 minutes as she goes to lunch. You know, this is somebody on her campaign. Brock doesn't try to, or Brock's party campaigners don't try to make that statement. They just send out stuff and say, you know, "Here we go. You can see Barack at such and such a place, you know, at this time," and all this. So I think that's a little bit better way to handle it. Now, I'd love to see McCain with some stuff out there, and unfortunately, he just doesn't have anything going on right now. But that's all right. And we also don't know, I don't believe yet, we don't know who the who his running mate is going to be. Yeah, I guess he's just not under pressure to release that yet. So, other big news too, kind of on the more fun side of technology here, is that, of course, you, if you've been watching TV at all for about the last, 3 years now, you'll have seen those Apple Get a Mac ads. And they're funny, they're amusing, they're irritating to those of us who do love Windows. They sometimes seem to have less than factual points and you know, conflated sort of information about the differences between Mac and Windows. Well, if they're irritating you a little bit as a Windows user, just imagine the level of annoyance and a level of irritation that our buddy Bill Gates has had with this. And he's finally decided he's going to kick back a little bit, and they've enlisted not only Bill Gates himself is going to be in this new set of commercials, but also Jerry Seinfeld. The two of them are going to be together, and they're going to battle the Get a Mac ads with their own line of campaigns. And I'm trying to find out here where the title of the campaign is going to be, and I can't find it. I apologize. I know though that they're going to be spending over $300 million on this campaign alone, which is one of Redmond's largest ever investments in a media campaign, which just for Seinfeld's time is about $10 million. So that, you know, you can imagine that's going to be interesting to see. I can't wait. I'm just hoping that they're able to achieve some level of snarkiness and humor that the Apple Mac ads got, because the Apple Mac ads, love them or hate them, you got to admit, they got the tone just right. Bill Hodgman is awesome as the Windows kind of drone, and I'd love to see a really good hit back from that, and something we can laugh about and share on YouTube and stuff. You know, as a Windows lover myself, and I fully admit that I, you know, for all the bad things you can say about Windows, and I'll agree with every single one of them, I still think that Windows is the way to go in the enterprise environment, and particularly when you compare to the Macintosh stuff. Now, another thing, too, that Microsoft is going to be doing, and they're working hard at right now, is that they are going to try and combat with Google. Now, of course, one of the ways they were going to combat with Google was going to be by buying Yahoo, and we all know how that worked out. So instead of going that direction, though, they've got some updates to their live search functionality, which I think you're going to find are pretty interesting. You may want to go, if you haven't tried a Microsoft search for some time, you may want to go and take a look at this again. What they're doing is they're trying to actually figure out more kind of like natural language processing, native language processing, so that they not only are figuring out exactly what you're asking for at the moment, but what you're asking for more generally, so that they're going to look at the search patterns over the period of time that you use the site, the Windows Live site, which means, yes, they are tracking you, and yes, they're tracking your searches, but you know what? Everybody else does it too. They're just going to use those tracks as a means of focusing the results that they give to you. Essentially, you know, if you type in pork chop into a search engine, and you come up with, there's some comedian named Pork Chop, and then there's a recipe for garlic pork chops, and then there's some guy who weighs 750 pounds, and he used to call himself Pork Chop, and the only one that you ever click on when you go through there is the garlic pork chops. The next couple of times after figuring that out and you start typing in food-related information, it's going to pop those recipe-type stuff up to the top, so you don't have to always be weeding through the comedian named Asparagus. Yeah, it'll come up however you're looking for it. And I think it's a really darn good idea, and one that should have been done probably, or maybe it is being done in other companies, but we haven't heard about it yet. But it's certainly an intelligent way to manage the information that's available there. Of course, some of this may not have been easily possible prior to the cheapness of hard disk space and the cheapness of our processing power that we have available today. It may not be known by a lot of people that Google does track every search and every click that you make. If you go to Google, you can turn it off, but I think by default it is on. If you go to Google and you do a search, do a search for one that you've already searched for before and take a look through the results, and you're going to see it's going to tell you in the results how many times you've clicked through to any of those results. So if you've done a search on something multiple times, or that the search result has come up through multiple results and that's the one you've clicked on, it'll show you right there. You've clicked through here four or five times. The only difference between Google now and Microsoft Live is Microsoft Live is actually using that information to make your next search more intelligent, your next search better. We'll see how long it's going to take for Google to kind of get on board with that and do the next thing with it. And it is about a quarter after 10. I think it's probably not a bad time to try and bring on our good pal, Mr. Jay Garman. So let's see if we can get through to him. Boop, 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 ba-doop, boop. Of course, we're doing this through Skype. They've been on the show in the past as well. Excellent, excellent functionality.
Hello. I'm sorry, it'll be just a minute.
All right, no problem. We'll just pot that down just a little bit, and Jay will be on in just a second. Like I said, we've got some good stuff coming on a little bit. With the geek trivia, I should let people know always that you can send in your email answers to techtalk@wrlr.fm. If you get a correct answer, sometimes even if you don't, if I just don't get any correct answers anyways, we'll send you something. I got a big box full of stuff that is just itching to get out of my house. And so send those in. In fact, I don't think we got any reasonable or legit answers this week. I don't know that we'll even be passing anything out this week because nobody's sending in these emails. techtalk@wrlr.fm. Now, part of that might be that I know our internet broadcast has been down this last week or so, and I think a significant portion of people do listen to us through the internet broadcast. I apologize to those listeners. Hopefully, they've found a way to pick up the show through our many access points. We've got it podcast via iTunes. You can get to it at techtalk.wrlr.fm. There's lots of ways to do it. So, Jay, are you you with us yet?
I am, sir.
Oh, there he is. There he is. I was telling listeners we had a special treat this morning. We got to hear from the Garman family. So,
yes, you did.
your life is just becoming more and more exposed. It before you know it, we'll have the kit on, and we'll have the whole extended Garmin nuclear set on the show for a special maybe for a special Christmas show. We'll do that. We'll all sing tunes or something.
Well, that could get a little dangerous, at least by FCC regulations, because my almost 2-year-old daughter got a stuffed fox from her grandmother, and if you ever heard a 2-year-old try to say the word fox, it's not clean for the FCC.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't know now FCC rules well enough to know, is intent, does intent matter? You know, is it, it's kind of like the difference between Old Testament and New Testament, you know? Is it the action that ends in the result, or is it the intent that ends in the result? So I don't know if I want to experiment with that either. I don't trust the FCC to be looking out for the DJ's best interest. So we want to leave that for a different time. Unfortunately, too, it's you're stuck with just me again. Dave has continued his hiatus here for a second week. He's out practicing motorcycle biking so that he doesn't get in any accidents. I'm hoping that this is just because he needs to get his license. I'm hoping it's not in reaction to something dangerous that he did and now has to do it. But I'll try to drag the whole story out of him the next time he's on.
I think it's just safer to blame the government for the situation.
In most cases, that works out pretty well. That works out pretty well. So we'll soon enough we might have. I was just talking. We've got now we know that Joe Biden is the VP candidate for Barack. We've got the Joe and O ticket. So not.
I had not heard that turn of phrase yet, but that's pretty good. Did you copyright that?
No, I didn't. Actually, I stole it off of Twitter. I have to admit, it was from Prez Bush. If you do Twitter Prez Bush, he popped that one out. So I had to pass it on, though. I liked it. The Owen Joe ticket. So
that's pretty good. I like that.
But anyways, we're here, of course, to hear about some geek trivia, and we had a good question from last week, of course, and I'm pulling it up right now to make sure that I get it right, unless you've got it in front of you. Let's see. Of course, without Dave here, and this morning in particular was the meet and greet for my daughter's preschool, so I'm all over the place. But here we go. Okay. The question this week is, this might be one. You know what? I didn't update our website. I'm going to have to ask you what the question was this week.
Well, I'm a little embarrassed myself because I can't get my own notes to come up, so I don't remember which of my many questions I asked you.
Uh-oh. Okay, I've got other ways to get it. Well,
we're just clicking on all cylinders today, aren't we?
This is fantastic. Absolutely. This is what it's all about.
Well, this is why you couldn't get me on the phone initially, is I'm fighting with my PC right now trying to get it to I got a nice Windows update, and now my system won't boot. So I have words for Mr. Ballmer and Mr. Gates right now that are rather special.
I was just talking, they've got a $300 million ad campaign to make sure that you continue to love Windows, actually. So that'll be kind of to fight. They're going to fight directly against the Mac ads that
could they just spend $300 million on making a decent Windows operating system instead? I mean, that'd be better money?
That'd be far too easy. No, that's common sense, and we can't get down there. The question we had asked last week, which I did find, is about disasters. What is the scale for measuring the danger that an asteroid presents the Earth? Caught.
Yes.
And this was the danger that an asteroid is actually going to hit the Earth. And it's a scale of, I think you said it was a scale of 0 to 10, just like the Richter scale,
yes.
And the others.
It's all coming back to me now. there are actually two, there's one really correct answer to this, but there are two possible answers. So I was hoping that the readers would have a good shot, but apparently they didn't. The most correct answer is the Torino Impact Hazard Scale. Named after Torino, Italy. If you know anything about astronomers, every time they go to a conference, they create something, and so whatever they create is named after the city they had the conference in. So this is the Torino Impact Hazard Scale, but it's not the first scale they created for this problem, so to speak. The Torino is their public relations scale, because the real scale, which is called the Palermo Technical Impact Hazard Scale, is way too esoteric for the news media. Because Palermo, which is also named after a place in Italy and a conference, measures the likelihood of a rock hitting Earth compared to the standard background chance of anything intersecting Earth's orbit. So it's a more complicated statistical measure of how much more likely a particular rock is to pose a danger. But when you try to explain this to news media, they get all glazy-eyed. So they created a Torino scale just to give them a nice 0 to 10 number.
I see. And is the 0 to 10, is it like the Richter scale where it actually kind of geometrically increases in value, or is it just a straight kind of percentage, 0% to 100%?
It's more along the lines of how much devastation the rock would incur. A 0 is nothing happens. And a 10 is wipe out all life on Earth.
I see.
And there's measures of disaster in between the two extremes.
Okay. So even though there are small bits of matter out there that we know for a fact are going to impact with the Earth, they burn up before they even get near the surface, and so those would be a zero, even though their chance of coming to the Earth is pretty high.
Right. So, well, it's a factor of likelihood of hitting, and if it hits, how much damage it will do. So they just give it a nice danger number. So, you know, it could be a really big rock, at least is how I understand the scale, but has no chance of hitting the Earth, so it has a zero. Or it could be a medium-sized rock with a really high chance of hitting the Earth, so it would be like a four. So a 10 would be going to hit the Earth and going to wipe out a bunch of life.
Okay. Interesting. Well, and we didn't get any answers this week. And the reason, of course, I can see now why is because I did not update the newsletter with the question appropriately. And we've also had the problem with this last week or so that our internet feed of the broadcast has been down. So the
did
only
you get a Windows update?
actually, we had some technical difficulties in the processor room, and we actually ripped out a piece of equipment, which we haven't quite gotten around to replacing yet. So unfortunately, the only people listening to the show are, I think, like my wife might be listening right now if she hasn't gotten bored yet, and anybody that catches it on podcast. But actually, we have a pretty loyal podcast following, and but I think what winds up happening is they probably don't get the podcast until it's late enough in the week that it's tough for them to respond to the weekly contest stuff. So at least I'm hoping that's what it is, and it's not just that people are afraid to send stuff in, but I don't think that's the case. We've gotten some really good information in the back or in the past, so I think we'll continue to get some. We should have that for people that do typically listen through the internet connection. We should have that back up, I'm thinking, the next couple of days. So you should be able to catch the Tech Talk reboot, which happens on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. And that is, of course, just the replay of our Saturday show and is not live. So don't bother to call in. There won't be anyone here to answer you. well, we should probably move on to what the question is for next week, and I've actually got my notepad right in front of me. I'm going to write it down and make it in capital letters so that I make sure to put it in the newsletter this week too.
Well, I guess the most appropriate one, and I'm going to go on memory of all the questions I know to ask, because I don't have my PC. What operating system, instead of having a famous blue screen of death, had a fatal error code called a guru meditation?
Fatal error code called guru meditation?
Yeah, it was very Zen kind of thing, like, just sit back and think about what's happened here.
Wow. Yeah, that, I don't have any clue at all. That's, their fatal error was called the Guru Meditation Screen. What operating system was it? And this is not a piece of software. It's actually the operating system itself that had this this error that would come out. So interesting. Cool. I will make sure that the question gets in the newsletter this week so that people can answer and respond. Last week we gave away a copy of Hooked by Matt Richtel. This week we've got, I believe that I have another SanDisk high-capacity memory chip, an 8-gig chip. You should see these things, Jay. They're unbelievable. They're smaller than the nail on my pinky finger, and they hold 8 gig of data. And there's a little converter piece for them, so you can hook them up into your USB port and stuff and all that.
I don't think I hold 8 gig of data.
Yeah, I know it. Certainly, the 8 gig that I hold is not nearly as easily accessible. So it's good stuff. People, make sure if you aren't getting the newsletter, send to techtalk@wrlr.fm, or just answer the most recent question, which was what OS has a fatal error code called Guru Meditation? Not a blue screen of death, but a Guru Meditation screen. So I'm excited to hear the answer to that one. I've been really good about not doing the whole Wikipedia thing. I really want to find these and try and figure these out on my own. So we'll wait until next week to find out what the answer is. I'll let you get back to fighting with your computer and your lovely wife. Say good morning to her from everyone at Tech Talk, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, take it easy, buddy.
All right, take care, Jay.
Thanks. Bye.
And that was Jay Garman. He's going back to his lovely family, and he also, of course, has got a ton of stuff going on. That man is like the busiest man in the tech world that I know. He's got Tech Republic stuff going on. He's got the Geek End he does. He's got his work during the day where he's writing scripts for a new website that we've talked about. He's just got a bazillion and one things happening. You definitely want to check out the Written Weird blog for Jay. He doesn't update it as frequently as any of us would like him to, I think, because, of course, he is just the busiest guy around. He also, too, is a fiction writer in his spare time, what little there is left of that, and has written some good stuff that actually he's got those up and available for people to read right on the internet on the Written Weird. Well, hey, I am going to break us off into some things that help us to pay the bills around here, and we're going to do that right now. Once we come back, we'll talk about a couple more quick and cool, kind of neat little news items. I'm actually going to tell you just a little bit, too, about the differences between LinkedIn and Facebook, because that was asked to me by one of our pals, Steve from St. Louis, and I'm finally getting around to talking about it. And then, of course, we'll break into the cool sites of the week, and we've got some really good ones for you, as always, this week. So make sure and stay tuned. We'll be back in, it looks like, about 2 minutes or so.
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Are you looking for a way to capture your treasured memories as a piece of cherished artwork? Then look no further than Brennan Photography. John Brennan has traveled North America for 10 years as an editorial photographer, and now he and his wife Tracy bring that experience to the families and businesses of the Chicagoland area. They specialize in baby, children, and family portraits. Brennan Photography is located at 422 North Seymour Avenue in Mundelein. For more information, their phone number is 847-949-5802. That's 847-949-5802.
Now it's easier than ever to record your favorite radio shows and listen anytime you like. New Replay AV has a built-in media guide that lets you pick from thousands of shows and stations and then record automatically. You can listen to your recordings on your PC, MP3 player, iPod, or CD player, and Replay AV can record streaming video too. Download Replay AV and try it free. Visit replay-av.com.
Hey, Zane, we're taking all the hits on the road.
Yeah.
Where at?
The Dry Dock.
What's that?
It's a new bar in Antioch on Grass Lake Road.
Are we, like, doing our normal time?
Yeah, 11 to 2.
Well, then, we want everybody to come out and see us.
The Dry Dock is at 27045 West Grass Lake Road.
And we'll be there, what, August 23rd?
That's right. August 23rd, the Dry Dock in Antioch. Jeff Davis and Zane Adams. Come see us get beached August 23rd at 11 a.m.
Hi, my name is Jackie Cotman, and I'm the person who finds foster parents for the kids at Allendale Association. Allendale is a temporary home and foster placement agency for abused and neglected children ages 8 to 18. My heart breaks every day when I see how much these children want and need a loving home environment and how much pain they have endured in their short lives. What can I tell you that will stir your heart to become a foster parent? Here are some of the questions the children ask me.
How long will I have to wait for a family?
Do you think a family would want me?
Foster parents are just like you. They have a lot of love and will make a commitment to their foster children to be there for them, no matter what. Perhaps you will consider becoming a foster parent and call me at 847-245-6201. I want to find homes for every child at Allendale. The need is so very great. Call me to find out more. Your rewards will be eternal. 847-245-6201.
And we are back with Tech Talk, and as promised, of course, we're going to have some good information here going on for you. one thing that I had promised, as I said, that I would talk about, and this was for a good friend of ours, a longtime listener, Steve from St. Louis, who, by the way, you know, I should mention that Steve has got kind of his own thing going on now. You might want to check it out. He's got the Money Man SOS RSS feed, and he's had a really cool list of things and pictures and talking about his trip on Route 66, but now he's getting back to kind of the meat of what he wants to do, which is talk to you about your finances and stuff, and he's got a really great outlook on it and some really good information, so you might want to check that out. I'm going to try and remember to put the link in the newsletter this week, but one of the questions that he had asked a little while ago, and I apologize, Steve, this was a little while ago, so maybe stale information for you, but hopefully for our listeners it's not, is what's the difference really between Facebook and LinkedIn? These are two kind of social networking sites, and what they're used for and why you would want to use one versus the other and that type of thing. And now Facebook has recently just kind of overhauled its image a little bit and things like that, but it hasn't changed the core of what it is. Both of them, you're right, Steve, both of them are social networking components. They're both social networking sites that are designed to allow you to easily link with people that you know and interface with that. Now, Facebook, though, tends to be more of kind of a college-level, fun sort of site where you can go there, you can keep track of what people are doing. It's more interactive. There's updates on the site, and you get little news bits of information about what people are doing. People post a lot of pictures there and identify what they're doing if they're at a party and all this. This is where some of the danger comes in with these social networking sites you hear about, where people post pictures of themselves getting foolish at a party, and all of a sudden the next day they go in for their football practice and their coach says, you're out of here. Well, that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, is the Facebook MySpace thing. Facebook is definitely, I would say, a step above MySpace. I know I'm going to get some screams and hollers and emails from people about this, but in my personal opinion, Facebook is appeals to a slightly higher level of user, let's say, than MySpace. MySpace tends to be populated more by the middle school, high school crowd, people new, really new to the web. People, there's a lot of music stuff happening on MySpace. That's the one thing about it, though, which is neat. And it's real easy to embed music into your MySpace pages. Unfortunately, it's also real easy to embed a lot of other junk and garbage into your MySpace page, which makes it virtually unusable by the rest of humanity. But Facebook is good for that. And I've got a Facebook account. If you're looking for it, you can look up Tech Talk on Facebook, and you'll find me there, and you can become a friend. I don't turn any friends down, so you can certainly hop right in there and see what's going on. And I try to keep that updated. I've got it hooked with our Twitter account, so you'll find out what the updates are through Facebook. If you're more comfortable with Facebook than you are with Twitter, you'll get the same information there either way. Now, the comparison, though, between that and LinkedIn... And LinkedIn, if you haven't heard about it, is, again, another type of social networking thing, but it's really much more focused on the business aspect, and it's much more focused on networking, and not networking in a computer way, networking in a business way. You don't really put in friends, quote-unquote. What you do is you put in people that are business associates, colleagues, coworkers, bosses, employees, whatever it may be, people that you've worked with, people that you would feel comfortable recommending for another position somewhere, or if someone was asking you about their business acumen, you could recommend them. And that's actually a thing that you can do in LinkedIn, is you can click on an individual that is a contact of yours, and you can recommend them, and you can write a short review or reference for them that says good things about them and everything that they're about and all that, and it's a good thing. Now, whether people actually will rely upon a LinkedIn reference per se to hire someone, I don't know that that's the case. However, I would say that if I am looking to hire someone and they bring me their resume, one of the first things that I do is a Google search on them. And if I see that they pop up in LinkedIn, then I'm definitely going to take a look at that LinkedIn profile, and I'm definitely going to look and see if there's any references. Now, of course, the reference tells you who the reference is from. So, you know, assuming you can legitimize the place that those references came from, that could be a very valuable tool. One thing I want to mention, too, with LinkedIn, there's a couple things I want to mention, actually. You may recall, if you're a longtime listener of the show, that we interviewed Marinal Desai from Crossloop. And it may not be well known, but Marinal actually worked on the original LinkedIn product, and he was, that was one of his first, you know, big Silicon Valley positions, was as the one of the corporate spokesmen for LinkedIn. So we have some background with LinkedIn that way. But then also too, another thing that this might be real useful to those of you that are already in the LinkedIn network, or if you want to see who else is there. Zobni, which we've mentioned as a cool site of the week before, X-O-B-N-I, it's inbox spelled backwards, is a free plugin for Outlook. And one of the coolest things it does is that it helps you track all of your email attachments and manage how many people have or how people have emailed you and how many times they've emailed you and all this other great stuff that makes Outlook much more usable. But one of the other things that it does now is that it's got a plugin that you can turn on to say that I want to know if any of my contacts, when I click on them in my email box, if they have a LinkedIn account, it'll pull up the first couple lines of their LinkedIn account, any picture associated with it, et cetera, et cetera. Very cool stuff. And if you're integrating with LinkedIn, this is the way to go. LinkedIn is, as I said, is very useful on the business side. If you've got a business, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to hire people, even if you're not, it's really a kind of a cool way to build up a line of contact with different organizations. And also too, especially if you're looking for a job or if you're looking for someone to fill a position, then that's when it becomes really useful. And you do get turned on to jobs that may not have been posted yet. You know, one of your contacts is looking for somebody, they can post it up through LinkedIn and you'll be one of the first people to hear about it. And if you got the skill set for it, you've also got an automatic in because of course they're one of your LinkedIn contacts. So you've got an email right to that person. So I hope that helped answer some of the questions about the differences between LinkedIn and Facebook and what LinkedIn is for. I use them both. I use them both for completely different reasons. And I think they're both useful, and I think that they're both good sites to go to. And you just kind of got to check it out. And don't forget, too, like I said, this did come from our longtime listener, Steve from St. Louis, who's got his own blog out now called Money Plan SOS. And I'll try to remember to put that link into the newsletter for us this week. Now, back onto the news, before we hit over to our cool sites of the week, there was a couple of really kind of cool new stuff or interesting new stuff that's been going on lately. One thing that I wanted to talk about is this has come up for us a couple of times, I know, was I've been real excited. I do a lot of traveling, and at least this last year or so, I've been doing a lot of traveling. In fact, I'm going to be going to San Francisco here in another month. I just got back from Pennsylvania this last week. And one thing that's been really exciting me is all the news about the airlines starting to put Wi-Fi into the planes. And American Airlines was supposedly going to be coming out with one real quickly here. You know, there's a company called Portfolio. There's a number of these Wi-Fi in the sky type of services. And, well, they keep getting pushed back and pushed back. Finally, they were going to actually put one of these up in the air. And I know there were some guys from TechCrunch that were going to get a chance to ride on it. But all the reports that I've been hearing now of the ones that actually make it into the sky, the Wi-Fi is just terrible. The connection speed is low and slow when you do get it, and half the time the service is not working the way that it should be. It's just been a public relations nightmare. And I think that the chance of getting the air cell operating for for these planes anytime soon is going to be pretty slim to none. And for those like me who are in the Chicagoland area where United is the hub, I haven't even heard word one from United about when they're going to be supporting this. I think they're probably taking the smart plan, which is to wait until American and some of the other airlines like Virgin and so on kind of hammer out the kinks and get things working the way that it should. And then possibly we'll see something going on. But it's just, unfortunately, just not something that's going to happen anytime quick. another thing that we should talk about as well is a different type of hack attack, and one that's of concern to those of us that are involved at all in medicine, as I am in my day job. Of course, I work with the osteopaths and DOs, and we do, of course, have a lot of concerns with people with heart problems. And one of the ways that you can resolve problems with someone's heart is you can install electronic devices that will help their heart manage itself. They're called pacemakers. There's other pieces of equipment as well that will work with that. But there's also, too, of course, new ways of delivering drugs and medicine to people's bloodstream. And then we have these electronic implantable devices which shoot drugs into your system on a regular basis. You know, they're hooked up with a drug delivery system, and it just all comes together. It's all electronically run. The patient doesn't have to remember to take a pill or whatever. It's great. It's been a huge boon, particularly for the older generation who have more of a difficulty with this, or those people that are not physically capable, or that the drug has to be delivered so frequently and in such specific doses that a pill just won't do it. And what has been proven, though, as a possibility is that these electronic devices, just like any other computerized electronic device out there, can be hacked. They can be overridden. They can be pushed into doing things that they shouldn't be doing. All this good stuff. And you could, in fact, they actually demonstrated at Harvard Medical site how a commercial radio transmitter, just your standard one you could pick up from a Radio Shack or anywhere else, can be used to modify these wireless communications from a pacemaker and to force that pacemaker to go into overdrive, forcing tachycardia, or to be slowed down or stopped entirely, bradycardia, or, you know, heart stoppage, myocardial infarction. And it's just, I mean, it sounds like, you know, what a horrible, horrendous thing to do, of course, you know, and what an irresponsible hack or attack. But if somebody can think of it, someone else is going to find a need or a desire to do it, and someone will actually do it. And so they're looking at different ways to kind of protect against this. LiveScience.com has just a fantastic article about it. I apologize, I take that back. It's actually from New Scientist Tech. If you go to technology.newsscientist.com, you'll see they've got a whole bunch of great articles. But the one here about the heart stuff is just frightening. And they're trying to figure out some good ways to manage it using cloaking systems, using encryption systems, things like this. Of course, there's also a lot of talk with getting some of this information from our bodies out into doctors' hands more easily. One thing that's been developed was actually a nano chip that could be swallowed for runners, for marathon runners, that would detect your body temperature, your core body temperature, and send those body temperature readings through Wi-Fi to the internet to a doctor who could manage your heart, or not your heart, but manage your temperature, and have people on standby to say if your temperature gets above a certain level, buddy, we're pulling you over, we're dousing you in water, we're pulling you out of the race. You know, you're overheated, you're done, if it gets to dangerous levels. And that, of course, can be adapted to monitor a whole host of different things and to move from there. So it's amazing the levels that technology is achieving today with medicine and where it's going. And certainly it's an exciting time to be involved with the medical stuff, but of course a very scary time too, because there's so many hackers and there's so many security holes and things for all of this. Well, hey, it is about close to 10 to 11. Now, we are going to later on this morning be doing a remote spot drop from Dry Dock. So I'm going to try and actually close this off pretty darn close to the hour, if not a little bit before. Before we get to closing us out, though, so we can switch over to that, of course, we got to do the cool sites of the week, which are always free, always fun. Let's see what we got here. And, of course, without Dave around, you know, I'm at loose ends trying to see what we got. all right, I'm pulling them up here. For those of you that are really into music and looking for new music to listen to, which if you are, you're like me. I don't like listening to the same band more than twice. You know, if I hear the same band twice, I'm like, man, I got to get on the internet. I got to find out who's new, who's what, what's happening. But even finding old artists that you haven't listened to yet can be a really fun and cool thing. Well, there's a really neat site called Music Map, and it's www.music-map.com. And the way this site works is you type in one name or names of a couple of artists that you really like, and hit the enter button. It'll bring up a cloud of related music for you, of related artists for you. And you can kind of click through these clouds and see associations and music that is of a type of the ones that you've selected that that might turn you on to something that you hadn't heard before. Of course, hunting down those albums and hunting down those MP3s or whatever you, however you want to access them, might be a little tougher, but you can probably at least through iTunes get some samples of it and see if it's something you want to hear. So I thought that was very cool, and that's music-map.com. It's really neat, if for nothing else than just a really unique way of using the whole tag cloud metaphor, and looking at that and seeing how that they show you the related pieces of music. So definitely take a look at that. another one that that I thought was very cool here is on a more practical level. Are there times, have you ever had this happen where you're going to go into a meeting and you just know what the people that are in that meeting, this meeting, which should be about 20 minutes long, is going to be a minimum of 2 hours. And you think to yourself, goodness gracious, I've got other stuff to do. I'm busy. I've got people to meet. I got things to talk about. Let's just nail this down. Let's get out of here. But how do you escape? Well, of course, the perfect way to escape is to get a phone call. If you check out getmooh.com, which stands for getmeoutofhere.com, you can have it send you a free phone call at a time specified by yourself, and it has a whole bunch of pre-recorded stuff to say. So even if someone is hearing or listening in, they'll sound like a legitimate phone call that's an emergency that you have to get out for. Now, some of them are somewhat realistic. A lot of them are very just obviously for amusement factor. And then the one that I personally like the best, though, is there's one that actually tells you what to say. You know, it gives you your side of the conversation. So you just repeat what it's telling you, and as you're standing up to walk out. And so that's a really neat one to check out. GetMOOH.com for GetMeOutOfHere.com. And you know, I can't resist. I got to give you just one more cool site, because I got so many here that are just so awesome. The Bakumatsu Koshishin Generator. I have no clue what that stands for. However, what it does for you is you can take any picture that you've got, a picture of your friend, a picture of your house, whatever it is, upload it to the Bakumatsu Koshishin Generator, and it is going to make that picture look like it was taken in 1924. It's going to look really old, really just like ancient, sepia-toned, grainy, and all this. You have to take a look. I mean, it might sound, when I'm describing it here, as, why would I want to do that? But if you take a look and see some of the examples that they have there, particularly if you're trying to put together like a fake album, maybe for somebody that's getting married, and you know, show the history of their relationship, that kind of thing. I think it'd be a lot of fun to play with. You know, of course, anything that they're doing on there, you could do yourself with Photoshop or some of the free tools out there like GIMP and all that. But if you don't have the time, the inclination, the skill, you know, the background to do it, this is a great way to really crank one out quickly. The website is labs.org. wanokoto.jp/olds. Olds. And of course, this will be in the newsletter, I promise. I will make sure the newsletter gets updated. The newsletter is always included at techtalk.wrlr.fm under shows. As soon as I get it up, the show will be podcast. You'll be able to get it through iTunes or straight from the website as soon as I get it out, which is usually about Tuesday. And next week, as I said, hopefully we will have the CEO from Jot coming on. And we're also trying to arrange to get someone from another cool site of the week that we've had many times, TimeBridge.com, to come on. Unfortunately, their CEO is just not available on Saturdays, but they've got some other people that can help us out and give us some great information, and we'll be talking to them in a few weeks too. So take care, keep in touch. I'm going to throw in, of course, for podcast listeners only, we will have some great music, which will only be available fully on the podcast. But stay tuned, and we will be coming back in a few minutes with a drop of all the hits as they're broadcasting live. So can't wait to can't wait to come back next Saturday, and have a great weekend, everyone. We'll talk to you later. This is Tech Talk on WRLR 98.3 LPFM in Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
Children out to die.